MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV. Always supporting local MMA. You're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
Of MMA Madhouse Live number 146. And before we get too far into this, big shout out to one sponsor, Jax Media, jaxmedia.ca. You guys check him out, Jax Media Canada on Twitter. Let's start this show the right way and bring him in, guys.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mother. And she burnt your monkey ass.
Mr. Lapaki, how are you?
Yo!
Today,
shit, man, nothing, bro. It's been a long week already.
Yes. You're definitely, I'm super excited. Tonight's show is kind of a madhouse special, if you will. We're going to have a good friend in Aaron Hall out of Team Quest on tonight. Also another good friend of the show and of Madhouse, Tad Brimmer, the man behind Cage Warrior Combat. And this time around, folks, he's going to sit down, and we get to talk the full pro league. He's got all the answers for us this time. We're going to have fun. And then a fighter that we sponsor, Clinch Custom Mouthguard sponsors, a great up-and-coming amateur fighter, Brett Malone, will be on the show with us tonight. I think we'll start with him first, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And the rest of the show, man, we're just going to kind of have fun tonight. We're going to talk a lot of MMA. Lapaki, how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? Oh, you know, it's all right.
Oh, you know it's going to be a great show with Aaron, dude, I'm excited. It's been about probably 7 months since we've had Aaron Hall on the show, and that's a little too long. I think the fans were yearning for a little bit of the madness to come back, so we will have him here on in a little bit.
I can't wait. I got some questions for Aaron Hall. I'm going to put his feet to the fire tonight. What do you think?
Well, I think that the noontime champ is going to make you tap.
Oh, shit. Come on, bro. Come on. You know better.
Oh, I've seen the master in work. It's a scary, scary thing. Imagine a spider and a spider monkey had a baby. That's what it is when the noontime champ comes alive. I mean, he constricts you, he'll crawl all over you, he'll pick life out of your hair. I mean, dude, you won't even know what's coming or going. He's a beast.
Dude, if you think I'm concerned about some guy that says he's the lunchtime champ, you obviously have forgot who I am. You will respect me. Me and Chris Gregory are going to earn our respect one way or another.
The respect, folks. That's what it's about in this world. I know.
All about respect.
Hey, what time are we supposed to call Brett?
Here in like a minute and a half.
Okay, cool.
Dude, what was your what events did you watch over the weekend?
Dude, I watched Prism City Fight League Shakedown. And
yeah, I heard that was interesting.
It lived up to its name. It lived up to its name. Folks, I'm not going to bullshit you when I tell you guys this. This is God's honest truth, and I'll even give you the name. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, and this is the best one out of all the craziness that happened that night. But Brandon Stafford versus Dale Brown, 135 fight for the they had a title fight. It was a title fight. And if I'm not mistaken, it's for the bantamweight title. I'm almost positive now that I think about it. So Brandon comes down to the ring, his full entourage music, gets in the cage, starts jumping around. The next entourage walks up, the smoke plays, the music goes. All of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere to the ring. The referee and the mic guy, the ring announcer, are chilling. This guy whispers something into his ear. What do you mean he's not fighting? Not 10 minutes before, during the previous heavyweight title fight, that kid was sitting, Dale Brown, right next to Grandpa Don Williams, somebody we both know. He was talking with him on the stream, and then the kid just chicken shitted out and left the building and left his entourage there. He didn't even tell it. He just left. His team, everything, he just bolted. Insane.
That wasn't the only time that happened that night, was it?
No. Dude, we go there earlier. Dan Dubois, or Dubois, it's a weird name, Dubios, but versus Thomas DeCame. Dude, he walked out when they played his music. He just left the building. It was crazy. It was all kinds. Dude, three verbal taps that night, the strikes, including one that was the most rigged stoppage of a fight I've ever seen in my life. Oh, that was pretty insane. I did catch some Thai fights out of Bangkok and one out of Russia on Saturday morning. Those were really good.
Yeah. It wasn't as good as the Bukow fight.
Oh, yeah?
Which, from the weekend before?
Oh, where he fought two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hold on, dude. I know I'm trash, but I started thinking about it the whole week.
He fought two guys. I told you that still wasn't probably a fair fight for those two guys.
And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
What did you watch this weekend? And will you tell the fans I'm going to get our guest in queue?
What did I watch, man? I was live and in person at Emerald Queen Casino for Cage Sport 25, sitting in the mile-away seats, chillaxing, watched the featherweight frenzy, is what I'll call it, the featherweight frenzy that went down in the main and co-main event that night. We finally got to see Lee Morrison and Julian Arosa square off and handle their business, with Lee Morrison earning a unanimous decision. Really wasn't much question. Lee's wrestling was definitely the deciding factor in the outcome of that fight. He really did use some ground and pound really well and was able to stifle Julian enough to not really have to worry about many submission attempts at all, which kind of surprised me. And then I watched Drew Brokenshire defend his title against Shorty Weichel when he ended up finishing that with a second round rear naked choke, which was actually kind of pretty slick. He had him in like a crucifix position from underneath him and was able to snag that neck and force the tap. But let's quit wasting time talking about the past, and let's talk about the present and what many of you will come to learn is the future of Pacific Northwest MMA. We've got the janitor, Brett Malone, is with us. Brett, how's it going, brother?
Oh, yeah, I guess. There we go. Okay. There we go, Brett. Sorry.
Nice fucking work, Skippy. Nice fucking work.
It's the board.
So let's try this again. Brett, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How's everything going for you?
Everything's good. Just taking some time and relaxing and enjoying the the day of my boy, my little guy, so.
So you fought June 29th at Primal Combat 6. You weren't in the cage for very long, man. How did everything feel when you were in there?
Oh, it was hot as hell that day, actually. Everything felt good that day. From when I woke up that morning, I felt good. I just felt like I wanted to end it quick as possible, and it just happened to go that way.
You fought a guy that I haven't seen fight before, Luke McNelly. I think that if he would go down a weight class, that he'd be pretty good. What did you think about Luke?
He has heart. I mean, you can tell that he just after the fight and everything, he was really disappointed and everything, and that's good because then those people usually come back with a vengeance. He had a pretty strong upper body, like clinch. When we were tied up, we were clinching quite a bit. And he's a strong kid, man. He's just you know, I heard he was, you know, new to the sport and just got to stay with it. But, I mean, he's got, you know, superior wrestling. You can just tell by, you know, tying up with him and everything.
Yeah, he definitely, it was, I was like you, I liked seeing the amount of disappointment he had in the outcome of the fight. I don't think he had I wouldn't say it was a horrible performance, but, I mean, he did get beat pretty quickly, but I definitely hope he sticks with it. I understand that he's going to be going to school on a wrestling college scholarship at, like, Northern Idaho or something.
Oh, yeah, NIC, yeah, I wrestled him in college. That's a good program they got over there.
Nice. Now, how's things up at AKA, man? You didn't have fight camp for the 4th. Did you get to enjoy some barbecue?
Oh, yeah, a lot of barbecue. I like, nonstop eating, actually, after the 29th. But yeah, some good times. Got my little guy and everything from his mother's house, so good time. Just relaxing and taking it in, enjoying my free time, and then back at it.
Have you done any training since the fight, or are you just kind of on a vacation here for a little bit?
Oh, no, I've been doing some training. I've been getting in there, working and getting in there just like as usual. I actually just left there just recently, actually, before this phone call. I was just in the gym. I had a buddy, Kevin Butler. He's getting ready for a title fight, and I was just helping him with some grappling and wall work and everything.
That's the part of training that a lot of people don't really understand is that even though you're not in camp, man, you still got your team that you're helping out. So it's almost like you guys really never get out of camp.
Exactly. I mean, it's like some people do, you know, they do their thing and then they'll disappear for a while. But it's like I couldn't just disappear on my buddy, you know, or my other teammates that actually stick it through and, you know, help me out and get me prepared for my battles and fights. So it's like, you know, you kind of got to, you know, it's that relationship, you know. I guess that's why it's like family. So it's like if you know, you're not there for each other, you know, what's the point?
And Kevin's fighting at Northwest Fighting Championship?
Yeah, he's actually fighting the guy that I was supposed to fight, but he couldn't get his license stuff figured out in time. So I hope he puts a whooping on him for that.
Is it when something as basic as just being licensed, a guy can't even get that done? You're just like, come on, bro.
Well, yeah, you could show up for a kickboxing fight and, you know, go out of your way, you know, still training all that. It takes like a half hour to go down to your nearest doctor and, you know, get a physical. It's like basic physical, I believe, if I can recall.
Where were you guys supposed to fight at?
We were supposed to fight at, I think it was A-Town Throwdown up in Arlington. I ended up getting matched up with a guy named Alan Gutierrez. But, I mean, I feel that he was a better guy. So, I mean, I'd rather fight the better guy, I think. So, I mean, I wasn't too disappointed. You got to fight, you know. You got to step in there anyway. Once you step in, you're fighting anyway. So it's no big deal, really, who your opponent is.
Now, Brett, what was it that got you involved in MMA?
Jeff Hoybe. really. I mean, he's the one who brought me over from, I was just doing jiu-jitsu, traditional Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I mean, it was, I had the intent on fighting and everything. It's just, he just kind of pushed me along and got me, you know, set up to where I can, you know, come along and improve and, you know, get to where I'm at. So pretty much, Hoiby's the one who got me into the MMA portion. Other than that, I was just doing jiu-jitsu events.
And was that kind of just to stay active after your college wrestling career?
Well, actually, I only wrestled in college for like 2 quarters, and then I did out with it because it was Yakima Valley Community College. I mean, it was good, you know, good competition and everything. We had good competition. It's just I wasn't too fond of the Yakima Valley area. So after that, and then I just, you know, I ended up having a kid. So I had like a layoff about 4 or 5 years from since I was in college, and then I picked up jiu-jitsu because my barber knew the black belt down there in the academy, so he hooked me up there, and I went in and kind of fell into what I felt like I like doing it because you can choke people, you know? I've always wanted to choke people during wrestling matches, but you can't really do it.
Do you think that people would be more interested in watching wrestling if you guys could use submissions during a wrestling match?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's what people like seeing. They like seeing, you know, that's the excitement of it. People like seeing people get, you know, submitted out, you know, where they, you know, they have to tap. I mean, that's the exciting portion, the scrambles and then the submissions off the scrambles. But, I mean, front headlocks, I mean, you could always choke your guy out in wrestling like that. I choked a couple people out in high school with a front headlock.
Now, is there repercussions when you do that?
No, I mean, as long as you have an arm in there, but I mean, a front headlock, if you just have one arm, you can wrench your thumb up into their Adam's apple and choke them out. I do that all the time. I would put weight on their back and just sit there and squeeze, and then I'd do what I want.
Dude, that's fucking sweet.
Cool. That's cool.
You find your perks on there and everything, you know, tweet it how you want it.
No, we were just actually talking about a crazy submission today, me and Lepaki. Anybody out there knows wrestling, you know, some people call it the Walls of Jericho or the Sharpshooter. But I saw a guy in Cambodia finish a dude in a fight this weekend doing that. It was insane. So, you know, that's got to be for you to be able to go from that wrestling base that's more about points to taking that natural aggression for finishing a fight, that had to be really enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's everybody's intent. Usually going into a fight, they just want to finish. And, I mean, without finishing, I mean, it kind of gets a little boring. But, I mean, it's...
So let me ask you with that. Okay, I'm somebody who's openly said it a lot, that I feel that the influx of wrestlers today has slowed down the pace of the sport, maybe even doled it out some. How do you keep that mentality that you have today and not revert back to your, you know, wrestling base to where you just try to hold them down and score?
I don't know. I think I'm actually going opposite. It's like my first couple fights, I don't even think I stood up and threw any punches. My first, like, three fights, I don't even think I ever even threw a jab. I just took them down and ground and pound and then look for the submission. But I mean, as I, you know, kept getting fights, I would, my stamina just kept coming. I think I refer back to wrestling every now and again, but I don't know, I prefer stand up. It's a lot more fun. It makes it a lot more exciting. But I mean, then again, you do get the traditional wrestler that just wants to, you know, get on you and lay on you and just, you know, wear you out and, you know, go 5 rounds. But I'm not looking to go 5 rounds. I went 5 rounds with a tough guy. My first title fight was Jeremy Montgomery, and that was not fun. I don't plan on, you know, going 5 rounds like that, you know, every time. So I'm looking for the finish.
Now, that was a fight you lost via split decision, correct?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lepaki, you touched on it earlier. I'm curious about you. You know, Lepaki said, you know, he's he can't wait to see what that loss kind of did to that the kid. Luke, what did that loss do to you for you to come back and so dominantly after losing that split decision?
Did you lose him, Skip?
It says he's still here. I swear I didn't do anything
Brett,
this time.
Brett had a great performance, dude, at Primal Combat 6, man. And he made quick work out of a kid that was I think has a really bright future, man. I just hope he sticks with it after his college wrestling. I just liked seeing the emotion that he had.
That's the thing is, you know, with that Jeremy Montgomery fight, a nasty 5-round war, you lose in a title fight, split decision. Let's be honest, we know a lot of amateurs out there who could not have come back 35 days later and mentally and physically be as prepared as Brett was. You know, I want to know what that – bummer we lost him, folks, but I want to know what that tweak was in his brain that said, look, you know.
I think a lot of that goes back to he trains with Landon, and Landon understands how to come back from losses and victories, and you name it, Landon's been down that path in the fight game. So these guys that he coaches, he can relate to them and deliver that message in a way that they're going to understand so that they can compartmentalize that and treat it for what it is. I really think that's one of the advantages to having a guy like Landon or Nick Gilardi or Eddie Blackburn or Matt Hume as your head coach, because these guys have been in there. They know what's going on. They know the frustrations that fighters can face, and they know ways to maybe help them deal with those situations so that they don't get hung up on that.
Once again, you know, that's something that's invaluable. Our next guest we'll get to also, we've talked with him about that. And in his facility, I mean, look, there's great facilities out there, but the difference between a great facility and a facility that makes great champions is your coaching staff. It's not, I mean, look, let's be honest, you could have a $1 million gym, but if you got shit people teaching you, you're never going to be able to be your full potential, let alone learn things correctly and develop correctly. You know, I mean, that was one of the things, dude, don't get me wrong, I love that gym that Glory opened. You know, I mean, it's sick, but for like me and you to go there, we're not going to get that training that the upper echelon fighter gets there. You know, we'll have to put in some time to get to that point. But I guarantee you the coaches, at least at the lower levels that we would be at, are probably some of the best coaches still, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're probably right on that. You know, plus just the amount of cross-training you can get at the Glory Gym is just, you know, going to be phenomenal. But that's also another nice thing, you know, about some of these guys that are training here in Washington. You know, it's sad that I'm more familiar with the gyms in Washington than I am with the gyms in Oregon, but whatever it is, what it is, and we just do what we do. But, you know, a lot of those guys up there, they understand that, man. And I was really wanting to be able to talk to Brett about what the ride was like the last 12 months, man. You should see if you can get him back in, Skip.
I will try that real quick.
Because, you know, I mean, he's only been in the game for a little over 12 months, and he's 4-2, 6 fights, 4-2. He's got a title now, the Primal Combat 6. He won the title there on Brad Poole's card, and I think he's going to be defending it against – shit, I can't remember now. Where the hell is Hoiby when you need him? Is Jeff listening in? Oh, yeah, Dalton Evinger. That kid was a fucking monster out of nowhere, bro. I think that will be a sick little fight. I think it'll be interesting because I know that just in the few short minutes I watched Dalton fight, I know he's going to really look to try and wrestle, and I think that's something that Brett will be able to stifle. And I'm not sure – I didn't really get to see much of Dalton's hands on the feet, but – if he thinks he's just going to be ragdolling Brett Malone, let me just tell you, buddy, you better rethink that whole process because he's training with some savages up there.
Got his voicemail, brother.
That's unfortunate. Hey, pull Jeff in here real quick.
Dr. Clinch.
What's up?
Jeff. Hey, what were some of the things you saw in Brett when he was training just BJJ that you thought maybe he would be a good fit at AKA there in Arlington and actually, you know, did you just see like a talent in him that you knew like needed to be shined up?
Yeah, he didn't look like he belonged. He looked like he was in the wrong room, kind of. I don't know if that makes any sense, but he just didn't really fit in. He was obviously better than most of them. He had a white belt with maybe two stripes or three stripes or something, not very far along, but every time I saw him, the only person that was rolling with him was the coach, who's a black belt, and he was putting him through it. I mean, he was giving the coach hell. So I knew he was real good on the ground and just talked to him a bit and he wanted to fight. So I can get you a fight. You can try it out. So, yeah, he just hits his ground. He's got some weird, just like a natural sense about the ground that he just kind of just rolls, pulls stuff and climbs around. So I don't know. He's a little monkey or a big monkey. Some people just have that on the ground. They just have that natural ability to wrestle. You've got that. And he's kind of a mental, so I knew that he had the mental edge to, he wasn't going to mind getting punched, he was going to love punching other people. He was just fucked up enough for me to know that he would be good.
Yeah, no, I was glad to finally get to see him fight in person because, you know, I got a short list of people that I still haven't seen fight around here, but it's quickly dwindling down. I think there's probably like four or five guys I really need to see, really. Of that upper echelon guys. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of dudes I haven't seen out there fight, and, you know, no offense to anybody, but I'm really just trying to watch these guys I think are going to progress to the next level. And in talking to you about Brett and hearing some of the things Landon's had to say about him, I knew that he needed to be on that list. Now, Brett's going to take off a few months and kind of relax and chill out on the game, right? So we may not be able to see him until November
September.
Or December or September?
September, yeah.
At Old Mill Days, or is he going to be at Mill Camp, or at?
I don't know. That's to be determined. I'd like either one's fine with me. Take his pick. Whenever
he's
ready.
I'm going to try him again. I'm going to try Brett again real quick before we run out of time because I want to at least give him a chance to get some shout outs. And he's saying that he's getting a dial tone. So, or a busy signal. So, after this, I'll call Aaron. Yeah, I know.
Hey, how's it going? My bad.
It's going all good, brother.
If you guys ever get the chance to get T-Mobile, I highly recommend it.
That's good. Hey, before we even run out of time, first things first, man. Shout outs, social media, anything, gym, coaches, friends, go for it.
Well, first of all, Landon Showalter for being there, the best coach around Pacific Northwest. Lapata, you owe us a trip up here. I know you're coming.
Yeah.
You guys, hey, Madhouse, Jeff Hoiby and Clinch Custom Mouthguards, you know, for providing everything and being there for me and everybody. And, then again, my teammates and everybody at AKA. That about does it. Kevin Butler and his title fight against Lou Johnson. Go get him. We'll be there. It's going to be a good one.
Hey, Brett, can you maybe talk about what the last year's been like? I mean, six fights inside of a year is really good. You're 4-2. You got the Primal Combat title. What's that ride been like for you so far?
Busy, just constantly grinding, you know, taking whatever time I can, free time and time that I don't have to, you know, get in the gym and get to where, you know, I plan on making something out of it, and I enjoy it. It's just a good release, and it's just something I enjoy so much. I have to find a way to get in there. Six fights just keeps me big, keeps me out of trouble. I plan on doing the same thing this year. I'm probably going to take a month or so off, month and a half or so, and, you know, still be in the practice room, but I'm planning on going back out there and bringing in some more belts. That's the goal for next year. More belts.
Hey, do you ever get tired of seeing Landon?
No, he's a good-looking guy. I could sit in the corner and stare at him all day. As long
as
you're
out. Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, Friday, we should get Landon to come on for the head-to-head trivia for MMA for the free GFL pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good. I don't know how he does with trivia and stuff like that, but I'm sure he'll be able to get some answers out there.
Probably
right on,
just,
man.
Sitting there.
He's listening probably right now. He's probably going to kick me.
Oh, of course he is. He told me, he goes, oh, you don't need any headgear. I was like, fuck that. I'll be doubling up on headgear when I come up there.
Oh, it still hurts, man. Getting ready for my fight against Montgomery, he would make me put on headgear and just try to do takedowns with, like, a whole line of people just swinging at me. I had to try taking them down every time, and then take him down, and I just try to hold him. He's like, get back up, and I would hold him there for a while because I didn't want to stand back up. He's brutal, man, but everything happens for a reason, man. He pushes us all to achieve greatness, so.
How fun is practice up there? I mean, there's you, there's Kevin, there's Kovac. God dang it. Who's the wrestling coach up there, Jeff?
Ken Alexander.
Yeah,
Ken Alexander.
Randy Davidson, yeah. I mean, I actually live with Randy Davidson, and he's not as tough as you guys think he is. He's kind of soft. There's actually a corner in AKA. He makes me. He always tells me I'm gonna autograph it one day because he'll stack me up in the corner and just lay some pounding on me, just punch me in the face, beat my ribs. It's horrible. But I love it, so.
Is it kind of like just going to a party there? Because I know Kovacs, when Kovacs is in the gym, is it completely different because he's just a big goof-off? Or is
when
he serious in there?
When he's there, I guess. No, it is. It's fun. Everybody gets along, man. It's we're all on the same level, everybody. You know, even the gals that are in there, we all just beat each other shit and stuff, and we kind of just feel off of it. It's a really fun environment to be around, man. Training right there, you get your serious moments, got your time to, you know, joke around and bullshit, but then it gets serious, and that's what I like, because everybody can, you know, turn from that silly to, you know, serious in an instant.
Man, that's awesome. Hey, Brett, man, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on and join us tonight, brother. We're about to wrap this segment up, man, but give a shout out to whoever you want real quick, man, and then I'll let you guys know when I can make it up and let you guys put the beating on me.
All right, it sounds good. AKA, training partners, Landon, Showalter, Ken Alexander, MMA Madhouse, Jeff Hoiby, Clinch Customs, you're my boy, and of course my mom. And my sister, she's been to every one of my fights. The only one that I know that's close to me. That's much support right there. So, yeah, that about wraps up, you know. And everybody out there, you know, supports me. I appreciate it. You'll see more of
what
to come.
Hey, Brett, before you go, man, was it harder telling your mom you were going to start fighting or is it harder going through fight camp?
My mom actually, she never even came to watch me wrestle. She couldn't watch me wrestle, so she sure as hell can't watch me, you know, fight. But, I mean, she's 100% supportive. She makes me call her every time after a fight. She just has to know if her baby boy's all right.
And does she make you send her a picture and everything? You're like, you're sitting there in the back with the strap held up. You're like, Mom, I'm doing great.
Yes, I come home with black eyes, cut. I'm a cutter. I get cut. She sees that, and then she just gives me the glare like, you're an idiot. But she knows. Keeps me out of trouble and everything, so that's good.
Yeah, that is, man. Hey, Brett, I really look forward to seeing you fight again this fall, brother, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight on MMA Madhouse Live, man.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, brother.
All righty, you guys have a good night.
Hey, you too.
I know. Hey, that's great stuff, man. You guys look forward to Brett fighting in a few months. Hey, not only that, it's time. The fans have waited long enough. The one, the only, the great Aaron Hall from Team Quest. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Good evening, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely.
Oh, it is good to hear you back on the show. How have you been over the last few months?
Doing really good, man. Just staying busy. The weather's here and, you know, nice weather's here. And it hasn't affected our numbers at the gym at all. You know, we've seen good numbers and the vibe around here is really good. We got a bunch of guys getting ready to fight this weekend.
You want to go get some tacos?
Yeah, I want to go get some tacos.
Oh,
dude,
sorry, I forgot to hang up on that. Sorry about that.
Hold on, I want to cut the bullshit.
I'm getting straight to the business. Are we going double or nothing on Livia this weekend?
No, because I think she's going to win this weekend. How much did you pay Livia Von Plettenberg to call you Mr. Handsome on that video blog?
Listen, honest to God, completely unsolicited. Listen, women find me irresistible. Women find me irresistible. It's a proven fact. It's science. You can't mess with that.
This is what I love about Aaron Hall. Dude, hey, have you defended the title lately?
You know what? I don't know that I've taken a jiu-jitsu class since the last time we talked. I'm not gonna bullshit you guys. You guys can see right through it.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's do that. Let's compare that record. So maybe Anderson Silva went 96 events. You went 87 classes. Still undefeated.
That's right, you know. And that wasn't a padded record either, so.
So you're saying that you weren't cherry picking?
No, absolutely not. I took on all comers.
Well, speaking of taking on all comers, have we heard any good news for Fabriano Shona to be beating up Lloyd Woodard?
You know, I haven't heard anything on that front. I know that he really, really wants it. From what I understand, and I'm fairly new to the community, but the jiu-jitsu community as a whole isn't really interested in what Lloyd Irvin has to say or do. And so I think he kind of burned a lot of bridges, so which is unfortunate because we'd all like to see that match.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think that Meta Morris will probably not have anything to do with Lloyd Irvin ever.
Yeah, I think they had a code of conduct policy and rightfully so, you know. You don't want to have your organization have a black eye of sorts, you know, with putting guys like that in your show or doing business with guys like that. You know, if you do business with a guy like that, who knows the business that you're going to lose out on because they don't want to do business with you. Because you do business with him. Follow me on that?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, that's my opinion.
Does Team Quest have a code of conduct policy similar to that?
I'll be honest, it's very lax. It's very lax. And I've broken almost all the rules, I'm pretty sure. pretty much, don't stink when you come to class. Don't burn the place down. Pay your bill on time, and everything's going to work out fine.
Dude, that is my biggest fucking beef, dude. When I'm in jiu-jitsu class, like, how do you fucking come to class and not be, like, showered up, dude. Like, we're going to be sitting there rolling around. I don't want your nasty-ass, stinky sweat dropping down to my fucking face.
I understand if the smell accumulates during the workout, but if you start it stinky, it's not tolerated, so.
And trim your fucking toenails and fingernails, you assholes.
Yeah, absolutely. We have two sets of clippers up at the front desk. If you need your fingernails or toenails clipped, we can take care of that. I'm not going to do it for you, but I can give you some clippers.
Well, I got to ask, last time we talked, there you were saying that Matt might be traveling over to Team Quest Thailand. Did he get to go?
He hasn't yet. I know that's... actually, you know what, hey, did Matt make it to Team Quest Thailand when he went on over to Australia? Yeah, he did. He went over there, let's see, it's probably about 6 months now. He went over to Australia. We have an affiliate program over there, an affiliate school. He went and visited them, took a nice little vacation with his daughter, which was really nice. She had just graduated high school. So as a present, they went to Australia, went over there, checked out Team Quest Thailand. They also checked out, I think they went to 1FC while they were there. I think there was an event going on while they were there, and they went over to it. So yes, he has.
That's cool. You know, it's great to see them doing so well. Obviously, the brand that you guys have started, and, you know, that has exploded worldwide. It's beautiful to see that. Affiliate program in Australia now. Are we going to see more affiliate programs throughout the international waters?
Absolutely. You know, we're always marketing that, and there's different levels to it. You know, you can be an affiliate. You can be a full-fledged Team Quest gym. There are some protocol in place that you have to follow to do that. So it all depends on what you're looking for. But like I've told people, Scott McKendry runs a class for sports management. And if someone's starting out, you know, wanting to open an MMA gym, why wouldn't you align yourself with a world-class gym? I know ATT does it. I know that the Pit, John Hackelman, does it. But these guys that have been in business for, you know, 10, 15 years that have systems in place, you know, they've made the mistakes. They've made the mistakes, and they're selling you the knowledge that they've acquired from making those mistakes so that you, as a young business, don't go ahead and make the same mistakes. So they're going to tell you what gym software to get, how you want to structure your classes, how you want to structure your membership, so that you can find success as a gym owner versus just going in blind and doing it your own way and then going belly up.
Is the class Scott teaches in the Sports Management Worldwide program?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the class Scott teaches, that sports management class, is that through Sports Management Worldwide?
Correct.
I took a football scouting combine class through that. It's a great program.
That's exactly what it was.
I really think everybody should, if you're looking to do something down that road, definitely look up Sports Management Worldwide.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, they go over aspects, and I've actually filled in on a couple of calls for Scott when he wasn't able to do it. And, you know, you got guys on there that are looking to be promoters, looking to be managers, all sorts of different agents, things like that. So all different sort of career opportunities in MMA are guys that are taking this class. And they're going to be a step further than the next guy for doing something like that. Like I said, if you can tap somebody's knowledge that's been in the industry for any length of time, and if he can give you a couple of pieces of advice, you know, things to do and things not to do, so that you don't have to make those same mistakes, you know, it's invaluable.
Hey, Aaron, I did that one call with you that one time, and I just thought that was some of the most intriguing questions from those students. It was a really good time, and I agree. You know, you guys kind of take that same approach with, you know, teaching amateurs. And not only that, you guys teach people how to get healthy, period. But with your amateur program, building them up to become pros, you know, the knowledge base that they have with the variety of coaches and different disciplines at your facility is, like you said, second to none.
Right. And that's what we pride ourselves on. You know, like our normal submission wrestling instructor pinched a nerve in his back, so he's taking a little bit of time off. Dave Cohn is his name, taking a little bit of time off to heal up. Well, who's the replacement coach? An Olympic silver medalist in Greco-Roman wrestling, the former number one ranked middleweight in the world, Matt Lindland's coaching the class, right? So that's pretty nice that your replacement coach is an Olympic silver medalist, right? It's legitimate coaching. You know that's what you're going to get. Dylan Fussell, who was our Muay Thai instructor, he was here. He actually just left this past Saturday to go back to Team Quest Thailand. He bought a one-way ticket, so he's over there for quite a while. But Alex Branham, who actually started in our teen program many years ago, literally they almost passed each other in the airport. He was coming back home. Dylan was going to Thailand. So now we got Alex Branham, who spent a year plus at Team Quest Thailand. He's running our Muay Thai program now. And, you know, so it's that kind of coaching that that you get here. And then Fabiano Scherner is our head coach, our head jiu-jitsu instructor. You know, his jiu-jitsu credits are longer than my arm, right? UFC veteran, third-degree black belt. Luis Pedro, undefeated mixed martial artist, first-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. Justin Nelson, black belt, first American that Fabiano ever gave a black belt to. So, you know, that's the level of coaching that you're going to get.
Oh, and folks out there, if you don't follow Thai fighting, Team Quest Thailand has been destroying people over there for about the last 9 months ridiculously. Guys to have that staff, that's insane.
Very much, and they're also expanding into the MMA world over there.
Slasher. The Slasher from Team Quest Thailand, he made the $1 million tournament for Dare.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's great to see, you know, East meet West kind of deal. You know, you guys able to bring that high-level caliber of high coaching that you're – the chances the average student will ever find that here is 1 in 10.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, there's been talks about bringing some of the crew guys from Thailand here for a visit, maybe a guest coaching stint here for maybe a little length of time. It's little stuff like that that really is what sets your gym apart, having the ability to bring in guys like that. Another cool thing that happened last year when Strikeforce was in town, when they did that show here last July, was a good majority of the fighters on the card, as you know, they get into town about a week ahead of their fights. So they were dropping in to the gym to get their workouts in. And Ricardo Laborio was in town with Jason High and Tyrone Woodley. And so he did a couple of nights guest spotting in our submission wrestling class. So it's like, how often, you know, do guys get the chance to roll with a legend like Ricardo Laborio? So.
Oh,
not very often.
Not unless you live in Coconut Creek, Florida and go to American Top Team. I tell you what, man, Ricardo, if you guys have never got the chance to meet him, literally one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. So.
Now, did you guys get a chance to watch him and Fabiano roll?
Fabiano and?
Ricardo.
I don't think they actually rolled on that particular trip. I don't think Fabiano was in here.
Those are the things that, like, you know, that are sometimes the best is like when you, because you guys have such high level coaches that when you have other people come in from out of town and you can watch them roll or spar with somebody that's on their level, that can actually help your students sometimes more than actually going through the physical aspect of the training itself.
Absolutely. You know, and a couple months ago, Tiago Tavares was in town and he was basically guest spotting with the other coaches. So we had, you know, UFC lightweight Tiago Tavares in here. Super nice guy, and I did actually get a chance to watch them. You know, he had the gi on. He was in our class. He wasn't just standing off to the side. He was getting in there, live rolling with our students, things like that, which is really, really cool to be able to see that happen. So,
And I'd like to tell you personally, thank you for sending me that photo, because when he wanted to know about local MMA, Aaron took him to MMAMadhouse.com. There's a beautiful photo of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, the sun was shining in the door, and he was behind it, so it was a little kind of a grainy photo, but you can see everything. You can see him. You can see the website. And, again, another super nice guy. And, that, you know, that's the thing. One of the biggest things for people coming off the street, maybe wanting to try MMA, they don't know what to expect, especially when they're coming to a gym like Team Quest. You know, it ranges everywhere from guys that are scared shitless because they think they're going to get their ass kicked walking in here. And it's really not. We've done a really good job of creating an atmosphere of family and a team culture, right? So when you come in and you sign up on a membership, Olivia even alludes to it in that video where we welcomed her and treated her like family. And that's true. You know, she was communicating with us via emails back and forth originally before she'd ever come over here. And she actually stayed with Matt Lindland's son while she was here originally. I think it was just for a two-week stint or something. And she didn't really know anybody, obviously, and she was going to take the MAX train to go to Matt's son's house, and she wasn't getting in until about 10 o'clock at night. So I'd never met this gal, just kind of communicated with her via email, and I was like, you know what, I don't like the idea of you taking the MAX train. God knows, you'll end up in Hillsboro and get stabbed. you know, so I was like, you know what, I'll pick you up. Yeah, Hills Burrito. I'll pick you up at the airport, and I did. I believe it was a Friday night, about 10 o'clock in the evening. Generally, I'm at home, not making love to my wife about that time, and so I said I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I did. I went and picked her up from the airport, took her over to James's house, and we welcomed her in here with open arms. And the nice thing about her is that she's very appreciative of that fact. Very respectful in the gym. She's an excellent training partner for everyone. We actually have Veronica Wickersham, who's making her debut this weekend at FCFF, was able to get some rounds with her. And, you know, our fight team is made up of mostly guys. So it can be intimidating for a girl who wants to fight MMA but can only train with guys. That can be intimidating. So she was able to get good rounds with Livia. And it was a mutually beneficial relationship in that Veronica was helping Liv get ready for her fight, and Liv was helping Veronica get ready for her fight.
Now, Aaron, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, but I believe Lepaki had first stated. Now, is T-Rex training at Team Quest Austria, right?
No, there is no Team Quest Austria. I don't know who started that one. There is no... and I know I can't think of the name of the gym she trains at there, but I know she's sponsored
Skippy
by Box House. Well, Skippy,
I wasn't even on the show that night. You blamed Aaron Hall. You said Aaron Hall told me that you trained at Team Quest Austria. There is literally proof of this, Aaron, on audio. He blames you for it.
Well, I don't think Lepaki's passing a drug test, so let's just chalk it up to that.
Hey, it depends on what you're testing for.
I don't test for anything. I don't care. I'm not part of the nanny state. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
hey,
for
well,
sure.
Look, hey, I want to ask you. You know, you're gonna hang out with us and talk about pros in a little minute, but right now I want to talk a little bit amateur. You guys obviously have produced and still produce great amateurs. You know,
yeah.
Rumor has it from a lady I know, a leasing agent, that Budo Fight has put a lease down in September for an event center. If that is to work out, will we get to see Team Quest fighters on it again like we have in the past?
I'd love to. With the way that the Oregon Commission is kind of putting a stranglehold on MMA, we've decided that this is gonna be a traveling band, as it were. So I'm looking at a lot of promotions up in Washington, heading east. You know, I know Boise and Idaho, that area has a lot of opportunities to fight there. So I'm looking to take the show on the road. I mean, we got good solid guys that show up on weight, ready to fight, well trained, and ready to put on a show. You know, our track record isn't perfect, but it's pretty good. So that's a note to all the promoters out there. If you want to get a hold of me, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at TQMMA.com. Shoot me a message. Let me know. I'd love to bring some guys for your show.
I want a TeamQuest MMA email address too, buddy.
You what was that?
I want a TeamQuest MMA email address.
All right, fartbox@tqmma.com. Done.
Hey, Aaron, I will get that you. I'm gonna shoot you. I'm gonna shoot you Gabe Scarpelli's information because he's willing to fly amateurs down to San Diego. You know, so I think it'd be something great to see some of your guys down there.
I will certainly travel with the team if that's the case. I could use some San Diego right now in my life.
Couldn't we all?
I have family in Southern California. I always love going down there.
Aaron, what is the, what is it, your guys as amateur fighters show up and act like pros. Is that the coaching or is that like a screening process on who you guys let in?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Basically, you can't just walk in off the street and walk into our amateur team. So we want you to come in, and there's no determinant time. There's no specific time that you have to be here for this amount of time. But we want to see that, you know, you're the kind of fighter that should be fighting for Team Quest. And you'd be surprised, you really would, how many people off the street come in here and want to tell me about how many street fights they've been in and how they're ready to go in the cage. Just last week I had a kid come in and he wanted to tell me that he had, you know, a dozen street fights and he won them all. And I go, that's not really going to help you in the cage. And I go, I tell you this, and this is off the record. I go, whenever I hear, when I'm at a show and I hear the word self-trained or independent, I always bet against that guy. And I make a lot of money betting on MMA. So if that tells you anything.
Well, and let's be honest, I mean, today's influx of people wanting to be quote-unquote UFC fighters, you've got to have some kind of a basic screening process. Cause right now, it's just like high school football. There's 13 million amateurs, but it's only going to be 300 UFC fighters when it's all said and done.
Well, also, the nature of the sport eliminates the wannabes and the guys that can't hang pretty naturally. You come and take just our regular submission wrestling class at Team Quest on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Or, I'm sorry, Mondays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. or Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. It's going to be one of the toughest workouts you've ever had, right? So you're either going to quit or you're not going to come back. And the guys that keep coming back, those are the kind of guys that we want to have on our amateur team if they have a desire to fight. The guys that that don't, well, it fixed itself, right?
Very true. I want to ask you a couple questions about some of your pros. What's going on? I haven't heard anything lately with Brandon Pitts.
Brandon Pitts is taking some time off. He wanted to focus, you know, because he's one of those fighters he wasn't making a living at fighting, and he wanted to take some time off and focus on hunting and fishing and kind of himself for a while. So I don't want to say that he's retired, but he's definitely taking some time off.
Okay. Tommy Leisman,
and I'm not giving away any secrets here, is awesome. He's an awesome fighter. I love every time I have a sport fight, I want that guy on my card. He sold, I think, the sport fight that we had at the college a while back, he sold 200 tickets by himself. He brings fans. He puts asses in seats. Promoters, you know, locally, do yourself a favor. Put that guy on your card. I know that he had some health problems, a knee or something, but from what I understand, he's healthy, training again or getting ready to get back into training and looking to fight real soon. So if I can't put him on a show, I know somebody else around here will. Great, great guy to watch. Again, one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet.
And, yeah, you're right. He's an exciting fighter. He can definitely sell a card by himself.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the injury that sidelined him, he's been on the shelf for a bit, but still a young man, great work ethic, great skill level, puts asses in seats. A no-brainer to put that guy on your card.
What about Cody?
Isaacson?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Isaacson's still in the amateur ranks. Unfortunately, around here, not a whole lot of guys will fight him. We've had a string of backouts, you know, get him a fight, and the injury bug hits. So last time he fought was up in Canada, but every time I hear a show, I always throw his name in the hat, and we're looking to get him back in action real soon. He literally trains more than anyone at Team Quest. Cody Isaacson is here. He's a coach. He's the director of our kids program. He just got done doing a submission wrestling class. Right now he's back. We got amateur team practice going on right now. He's back there. He's ready. I mean, he's a very skilled young man. And I know that we had a plan. He wanted to maybe turn pro at the beginning of 2013. That didn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen soon.
Well, Let's stop right there. We're going to throw
Hold on, one question. I've got a listener's question. What weight class is Cody Isaacson at?
155. Lightweight.
Okay.
What we're going to do, folks, is we're going to play a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, Aaron's going to stay with us. We're going to sit down with Cage, with Tad Brimmer from Cage Warrior Combat and talk about the Pro League. So, folks, don't go nowhere.
Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, folks, we're back, and we're going to spend this next little bit talking with Tad Brimmer from Cage Warrior Combat. Tad, welcome to Madhouse Live. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Tonight you're going to be joined by our good friend of ours from Team Quest, Aaron Hall, and obviously, you know, Lapaki and me, Skippy. This time around, we get to talk to you a lot more about your new pro league that you're getting ready to start running events for.
Yeah, so everything's pretty much official. I've been given the go-ahead to let people know what's going on. So our company just got bought out. It became official 3 weeks ago. And so this other company came in, and they're an investment company. They've seen what we have to offer and the shows that we've been putting out, and they came by and said, you know, I think we need to help you guys take this to the next level. And so we sat down and went through negotiations and basically told them, you know, this is where we've seen ourselves going and this is how we thought we could get there. And they came on board and they liked what we had to offer. And so we started looking for a bigger venue, and we went to the Kent Showwear Center, and right away we felt like that would be a perfect fit for one of the new locations for Cage Warrior Combat.
Okay, so with the new pro league, let's start off by asking some basic questions for all the pro fighters, especially in the Pacific Northwest, listening tonight. How is this going to work? Are you guys going to go ahead and start signing fighters you've already been paying attention to? Or are we going to see an open tryout?
Well, actually, we signed our first multi-fight deal today with Alfonso Gonzalez. He's an up-and-comer on 185. He's the current Cage Sport contender. So we took him off the market today, and I'm hoping by the end of the week we'll have three or four more guys that will no longer be available to other promotions.
Hey, congratulations on signing Alfonso Tad. I think that's a great acquisition to the Cage Warrior Combat family.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I've been wearing a grin all day long. I'm pretty happy to have him on board. There's a couple other guys out there that we're looking at. But basically, we're taking a different approach to how we go and find our fighters. We know that there's a lot of fighters out there that are probably going to email and...
Or are you going to get some Team Quest guys in there?
Yeah, well, what we want to do is we want to visit the fighters in their gym, in their area, see what it is that they do firsthand, and that way we can make a more accurate assessment of their talent.
Absolutely. The door is always open here.
Perfect.
Aaron, can you give Cody Isaacson's record real quick?
He's 4-2 as a mixed martial artist, 4-1 as an amateur kickboxer.
Awesome.
And one of those losses came up in Canada. Each province has its own commission and different rules. And because he were amateur, he wasn't allowed to strike while on the ground. So I don't know if you guys saw that fight. So when it went to the ground, he didn't have the ability to strike. So that didn't help anything.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy.
Now, Tess, will we start seeing some of the fighters you guys sign August 3rd, or will we be waiting until later in the year?
No, so you'll see, we'll have our fighters August 3rd, and I think there might be one on there that is getting signed to a multi-fight deal. And then we'll have two more on our September 14th card, and then we'll probably have another four on our November, our big November show at the Showwear Center.
Now, let me jump in for a quick. You've said you've signed them to multi-fight deals. Is this going to be the standard, and what is the standard?
Well, yes. So the idea is to sign fighters to 2, 3, 4, and 5 fight contracts. We'll leave clauses in there so that basically if they get the opportunity to fight for Zuffa, we'll release them from their contract. If they get the opportunity to fight in another larger organization, then we will get the first right of refusal. But if we can't meet their contract or beat it, then we'll release them to fight in another organization. So we're trying to be real fighter friendly, so that people aren't afraid. Like, you know, hey, if I sign with these guys, then that means, you know, I'm stuck, and if a better offer comes along, I'm screwed.
Now, I gotta ask you, how many weight classes total are you guys gonna have?
To be honest, we haven't really looked at that yet. Basically, what it comes down to is, you know, if we go out and we find, you know, a midget, 75 pounds, and we can get him five stuff on him, you know.
So you guys are going to definitely have no problem looking at the 125 weight class, because I believe that there's a decent amount of amateurs that just have nowhere in the Pacific Northwest to turn pro at.
Yeah, there's a lot of 125-pounders out there. We actually have... We have a title fight on August 3rd featuring 225-pounders. We'll be signing any weight class that's available as long as they meet the criteria that we're looking for. And, you know, we'll sign females at all weight classes. Basically, what we're looking for is people that really... really exemplify the brand we're trying to get across, which is, you know, really the warrior way. So, you know, we're looking for people that will fight anyone, anywhere, anytime, you know, people that train hard, you know, and they live their life to fulfill their dream. So as long as people meet that criteria, they have an open invitation to Cage Warrior Combat. We're not gonna get hung up on record or, you know, gyms or where they come from or who they train with or, you know, who they've lost to or who they've beat. You know, it really comes down to a chase by chase situation. I think there's a lot of fighters out there who have losing records. And they get the shaft because they didn't really have anyone guiding or mentoring their progression through their early days in the sport. And I think a lot of the other organizations that pass up on guys like that are passing on opportunities to help turn around, you know, careers. So.
Yeah, and some guys that just have a bad record, they can't just fight nothing but savages.
somehow go their way.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Some guys just have a bad record because they just fight savages and, you know, they just, things don't always go their way. I tend to enjoy guys that put on exciting fights, and that's kind of the feeling I'm getting, is that you guys are looking for people that are going to put on exciting fights and really want to perform.
Exactly. That's you hit the nail on the head. We don't care if your record's 27-0. If you're a boring fighter, you might have a hard time in our organization. We're about passion. You know, we want people that are passionate about the sport. That, you know, they don't get hung up on, you know, what they're told they can and can't do. We want people to come in and put it all on the line, you know. And I think there's a place in this sport for a promotion that looks at people's desire and their willingness to put it all on the line, rather than, you know, where the zeros are in their record.
Now,
so, yeah, I think that's something that's really kind of.
He was touching on the growth and giving, you know, these fighters a place and a platform and a home, basically, to fight at. For your brand and the fighters' growth, both, are we going to see some kind of streams of this event, or maybe a rebroadcast on a local cable? How are we going to see this, you know, these fights as fans?
So we will be streaming the fights. And right now we're working out our pay-per-view platform with Ustream. So all fights will be available to anyone that's not in the surrounding vicinity of where the fight's happening. So the Kent Showwear Center, what we'll do is a 75-mile radius around there, we'll black out IP addresses. So, you know, we don't want people sitting at home watching it when they can be there live, but anyone else will be able to watch them. And then it will probably be a week or two later, they'll be able to watch them on our website free of charge. And so the four fights a year at the Kent Showwear Center is just, that's phase one of the plan. Moving into next year, we will be getting another venue on east of the mountains, and then as we move into the summer and fall of next year, we'll be looking at going into southern Washington, northern Oregon. So, we're looking. The goal is to be doing over the next year at least one professional fight a month. And whether that's, you know, currently at our 700 person venue, or whether that's at our larger 7,000 person venue, or one of the venues we're looking at that's kind of in the middle.
Now, for all the pro fighters out there, I know you just talked with Aaron about, you know, coming down and visiting him. So are you wanting pros to have their managers and or coaches, whoever's taking care of that, to contact your company? Or how are these pros supposed to get a hold of you to try to get signed by you?
They can get a hold of us any way humanly possible. They can email, text message, homing pigeon, send out a fox with a note tied to his leg. But basically what we're looking for is an invitation. We don't want to get in the habit of stepping on coaches and managers' toes. So if fighters are out there and they have management, we prefer that they have their management get a hold of us, and then we'll come and see them. But, you know, one thing that I've noticed is
is because of the lack of professional shows out there. You have fighters that will, you know, just streamline their information to whoever will listen. And then what ends up happening is, you know, you talk to them and then the manager or the coach gets a little butthurt about it. And so if they currently have coaches or managers, have them contact us. If not, then feel free to, you know, contact us. At least for the time being, my phone number and everything is still on the website, so people can go there. And I just ask that if it's after 7 o'clock, you text message for the call.
Is Apocalypse still with us, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, bro. I was letting you talk.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and jump
like
in.
Like you're on a roll. Oh, thanks for your permission. See, this is... Tad, is your working environment better than my working environment? This is the treatment I get.
Well, my working environment has gotten really nice lately. We just moved into our brand new office in Fife, Washington, and we're on the third floor of our new building, and we can be reached there. Our new address is on our website as well, so people can feel free to drop by and drop off their information or say hello or bring us a beer.
Now, normally Carl would be with us. He's from Canada. He drinks a lot of Molson Ice and Kokanee. What kind of beers are you guys drinking up there in Fife?
Right now, the only beer that any employee of Cage Warrior Combat drinks is Golden Warrior Ale, brewed by Vahal Brewing out of Poleville, Washington. That was pretty good. It sounded like a company line, didn't it?
Yeah,
dude,
now they're
plug.
A big supporter of you guys.
Yes, they are. They are. That's what I like to refer to as a lead-in. Yes, they're one of our biggest sponsors right now. Jeff Holcomb from Vahal is he's a former Marine, or I think they still call themselves Marines, even though they're out of it. But he's a veteran anyway. He enjoys the MMA scene. He actually took his first fight three fights ago for us. And, you know, he loves the fight game. He loves sponsoring fighters. The only thing that he requires if he sponsors a fighter is that you promote his brand, which doesn't seem like it's that hard to do. So any fighters out there that are looking for, you know, a beer sponsor, Jeff from Vahal Brewing out of Poleville, Washington is a good place to start.
That's cool.
And just
cool.
Talk like you drink beer. People, that's all you got to do. Drink beer, tell them how good it tastes, and then tip another one back. Where is
exactly.
Shirt.
Yeah, it's really easy to post, man. It's a hot day. I'm going to have me a Vahal beer, you know. Just easy.
Yeah, it's that easy. So they're currently producing their award-winning beer. It's a Cage Warrior Combat Golden Warrior Ale. We serve it at all the fights. We usually blow through about 2, sometimes 3 kegs of it. So it's very popular, and he's looking to have it in stores by the end of the year. So.
Oh, that's cool. You know,
yeah, so we have our own beer too. That's pretty cool.
You guys have addressed this, it seems to be, to me, looking from the outside, in a very smart way. You know, not only with your sponsorships, but the way you're going to address the fighter issues and signing pros. I got to ask you, how long has this been in the works? And the second part of the question is, do you guys have a rough number of pros that you're looking at maybe calling the ceiling for your roster?
Yeah. So this has been in the works ever since, you know, this has been a dream of mine since I got in the business, you know, 8 years ago. And, you know, from the very beginning, I've
I've made it known that it takes a team, it takes a competent team to get to where we're going. So along the way, we've ironed out some problems. We've brought in some people that have helped us with those situations. Jeff Hoiby from Clenched Mouth Guards has done a superb job of really getting us out there and in a different light. This game is a very small community, and sometimes it's hard to get the true personality or the true story out there. And so, you know, Jeff's been monumental in doing that, and he's opened a lot of doors for us to work with some great camps. And so, we've been just trying to put together the right team, and, you know, now we're at that point where we have a pretty good foundation. We're always looking for more talent, more than just fighters. We're looking for all sorts of, you know, different things. You know, we need judges, we need referees, people that we can count on that have the same goals and mentality that we do. We're also probably some point in January, February, looking to open a private gym for the local professional fighters. Not that we're trying to get into the MMA gym business, but we want to be able to, the fighters that we sign to our organization, we want to be able to help them in any way that we can. So allowing them, you know, a facility to train at if they don't have that, or if their fight is in Kent and they're from Spokane, or they're from, you know, Gresham, or they're from, you know, and they want to stay locally while they train, you know, they'll have a place to do that. So we're going, you know, going in a couple different directions here.
Now, you were I saw you at Primal Combat. What did you think of that event?
Oh, that was an awesome event. And I was telling, you know, I was talking to Jeff Hoiby about getting involved with that event. You know, there's a lot of amateur events out there, and some of them are ran haphazardly. But that event was exactly the type of event that we want to help nurture and grow. It was a family environment. The promoter was all about the fighters, was all about safety, really, really making sure that everybody involved had a good time. And I was really, really impressed with how it ran. And, you know, I told Jeff that night that if there's anything that we could do to help that promotion along, whether it be donating our cage, our lights, our sound system, some of our marketing team, whatever we could do to help them save costs to put back into the show, those are the type of organizations we want to be involved with.
No, I definitely agree. I think it was a great show myself. Now, are you guys going to start dwindling down the amount of amateur fights you're having, or will you have shows strictly dedicated to the amateurs?
That's a really good question. So, currently we have our Pro-Am show, and that's at the casino in Kingston there. But once we move into the Showware Center, we will throttle back on the amateur side of things and start looking for amateur shows to partner with, to funnel their guys to us. So yes, we want to get away from the amateur side of things. Not that it's not exciting or, you know, anything like that. It's just we really want to focus on the professional side and then help the gym ran shows really raise the level and start feeding their amateurs to us
when they're ready to go pro.
Now, who will be overseeing, like, the fight day operations? Will you be handling that, or will Mingo be handling that, or?
Well, actually, we're looking at Jeff and Stormy Hoybe to be taking on that responsibility. And then I'll be able to do what I do best and sit on my fat ass and drink a beer.
And schmooze, right? That's the most important job in the building, though.
Yeah.
Now, you had a good middleweight fight at Cage Warrior Combat 5, Dario Mobley, and he fights out of Alive MMA, and he faced off with Carl Edwards. Are you guys looking at either of those two maybe for something long term? I'd love to see Dario fighting a little more regularly. He's been fighting a lot this year. I think he's one of those guys that I think has a very, very high ceiling. He has arguably one of the best coaches in the Pacific Northwest. And if anybody wants to argue that with me, we can either take it to the jiu-jitsu mat or we can go to the street. I don't really care. But Nick Gilardi's a beast. I think that Dario is a guy that people need to take serious consideration into. His last three fights prior to Carl were two fights with Brett Knopp, and then he faced off with Alfonso Gonzalez. All those were at K-Sport. Then he came over to Cage Warrior Combat, where he fought Carl in what was a tremendous fight. At one point, I thought Carl was going to be able to finish the fight, but somehow Dario persevered through that and ended up winning that decision, and it was just one hell of a fight there.
Yeah. There's really nothing left to say. That fight was phenomenal, and it showed exactly how good both of those fighters are. You know, of course, we've been working with Carl for some time now, and we're really pleased with his progression through the amateur and into the professional ranks. He holds a special place in our heart because, you know, he's a veteran, and we're a veteran-owned and operated organization. So we've tried to help Carl as much as possible, and we love him. But, you know, you can't argue with Dario and the way he came out and his heart and his determination, and he fought through. And, you know, that's really just when you think you got, you know, somebody pegged, like, okay, we know how this fight's going to turn out. You know, they surprise you, and that's, you know, Dario was a pleasant surprise. And we would love to have him on future shows.
And then another fight, I mean, as good as Dario and Carl were, Tad, I really thought the fight that stole the show that night was RJ Murphy and Lupe Hudgens.
Yeah, that was another incredible fight, and another example of two guys that I've had, you know, the pleasure to watch from the amateur level into their pro debuts and now into, you know, two and three fights into their career. Lupe Hudgens is a phenomenal fighter. I think he's very underrated. It saddens me that he's out in the middle of nowhere. I think if he was closer to civilization, he could get some really good training, and I think he could reach his true potential. But doing what he does, where he's at, he's a phenomenal kid. You know, he's got a lot of raw talent, and I would love to see him progress further than that. RJ Murphy is another, I mean, that kid's a scrapper. That kid, he has a lot of heart. You know, what a lot of people don't know is he had a rough couple of weeks before that fight, and, you know, he just persevered through it and got in there, and although he lost, you know, he put on a phenomenal show and just reiterated the reason why we're going after fighters based on who they are and how they present themselves rather than what their record says. if we were more of a traditional MMA promotion, we'd be going after guys that are 5-1, 6-1, 6-0, 7-0. We wouldn't be putting a lot of time into the guys that are 4-4, 3-6. But those are the guys that you know, they love to fight. They love to go out there and just put it all on the line. And really, that's what we're looking for is somebody that is doing it because they want to be doing it and not because they think that it's, you know, going to help them get laid or help them move into a different area code or, you know, drive a different car. We want the guys that are there because they enjoy it, because it's not anything more than, you know, the warrior way. So.
Yeah, and now I've got one more fight I want to talk about from that card before I jump to this upcoming card. Jamie Gonzalez fought Yvonne, I think that's her name. She fought the girl out of Northwest Elite there, Hamlet School, in the ladies' fight. And I think that she was one of the most class act competitors I've seen in a long time. And I really think that that's somebody that I would like to see competing more often.
Oh, yeah, that fight was another phenomenal fight. We've been, I think we're batting 1,000 when it comes to women's MMA. We've had 3 female fights, and all 3 of them have just been slugfest, back and forth, just on the edge of your seat, just crazy, spilling beer everywhere, screaming and yelling. It's just awesome. And so those girls just, you know, I wasn't particularly a fan of women's MMA before, really before the Amy Edwards Cheryl Chan fight, but they grabbed my attention, and Yvonne and Jamie beat it into me. You know, it was just, you know, so we're looking for more fights like that with those girls. They're phenomenal.
Okay, so now let's jump to the future. Let's look at things that you guys have coming up. You've got maybe the best flyweight fight to happen in the Pacific Northwest in a long time coming up. Alex Corrales and Luis Gomez. What are you thinking about that, and how excited is Cage Warrior Combat to be able to be the home of that show, or of that fight?
We're pretty excited. You know, any chance that we get to see competitive fights, obviously that's what we're in the business for. But you know, I'm always looking forward to the lighter weight guys. You know, you get into the 125, 135, 145. Those guys are just like hummingbirds, man. Just constantly moving, constantly keeping the pace going. And those two fighters in particular, you know, are electrifying. So, you know, we're excited to have that fight. We're even more excited that it's a championship bout. So, you know, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've seen Alex fight quite a few times, and he never fails to put on a stellar performance.
Amen to that. That kid's a beast.
Now, there's an even bigger fight going down in the 170 class. You guys have booked Frankie Orr to take on the legend in his own mind, Eddie Blackburn.
One speed. That's one speed. He ain't a legend, and he's a legend in everyone's mind.
Skippy, do you have your knee pads on or something?
Dude, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give Eddie $500 to knock you out just to laugh.
Hey, here's the deal. I'll let you do that if you give it to him in person at the next Cage Warrior Combat. I'll step in there with Eddie Blackburn.
How about this? After Eddie knocks out Frankie Orr, you step in the cage right away and fight him, and then let him knock you out too.
Well, now, but you'd have to make it still to the event.
Oh, dude, I'd sell my children. If you're gonna fight Eddie, I dude, straight up. If you're fighting Eddie, not only am I making it, I'm bringing everybody I know because it's the last time people probably get to see you because Eddie will knock you clean out. So he's like, what do I say? I don't want to get beat up.
Keep telling yourself that. This isn't nothing I don't tell Eddie every time I see him. Which I just saw him four days ago, and then I saw him 11 days before that, and I saw him like 2 weeks ago, and I saw him 3 weeks ago. I mean, dude, you think Eddie's going to knock me out? You better come up with more than $500, bro.
Oh, he'd do it for $100. He just sent me a thing, $40 in food stamps. He'll kick your butt.
He probably just said, get me a 30-pack of Coors Light, and I'll be ready to go.
Well, he's going to hold off on the Coors Light because he's got to make 170 for September 14th. So.
No, that actually, you know, that was that's how dedicated Eddie is to this fight. Part of his negotiation process, not with Cage Warrior Combat, but within his own household, was that he had to give up the Coors Light until after the fight.
There you go.
I think
why is he drinking Coors when he could be drinking the great custom beer made for Cage Warrior Combat?
Yeah, that's a good question. Everybody should be drinking the Golden Warrior Ale. It's quite tasty.
Look, you know, Chad, go ahead, Lepaki.
No, you go ahead, Skippy.
I was going to say, you know, I got to say, everything you're doing, building these cards, bringing in the pro division, you know, tying yourself with great sponsors and great fighters and even Jeff. I got to, you know, I love the premise of everything. I've got to ask you, though, the tough question. A lot of people out there who have already, quote-unquote, established themselves or feel that they have the better product, Are you ready for that kind of piss and match that's going to come with this that you're producing?
Yeah, we're ready for anything that is on the horizon. A lot of people think that, you know, and a lot of people will think that, you know, we just sprung up overnight. But believe me, we have the battle wounds to prove that this has been an ongoing process. You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs, hills and valleys, and you know, we're finally at that point where I think we're ready to make that next step into the bigger shows, and I'm quite certain that the Pacific Northwest is ready to embrace a show like that. That, you know, Cage Sport or Rumble on the Ridge or Koga Fighting Championships or even Rain Fighting Championships hasn't brought a level of success and excitement. But we need a show that is you know, shooting for the moon, you know. We need a show that's going to excite and electrify the fans out there, you know, that don't really, you know, they're on the fence. They're on the fence about whether they're a true MMA fan or not. And part of what we're trying to do is go after those casual fans. The example that I've been giving my team when they need the, you know, the pep talk is, you know, we're all familiar with our beloved Seahawks, right?
Yep.
Not everybody that goes to CenturyLink Field is a fan of the Seahawks, and even more may not even be fans of the NFL. But what they are fans of is that excitement, that aura, going out there and being in a crowd that is electrified, you know. And it's a good time, you know. You'll go to a game and you'll see people not even watching the football field, just drinking beer and having fun. And that's kind of what we want to introduce
into Washington MMA is the ability to go there and have it be an electrifying event. You know, walking the red carpet, and, you know, getting their gift bags as they come through the door. You know, getting that extra swag. You know, meeting the ring girls, meeting the fighters. You know, really having that experience of more than just, you know, showing up, watching people, you know, scrap and then calling it a day. You know, hopefully they'll get to hear some bands. You know, they'll hear some DJs spinning. You know, really making it an exciting event for all people.
I've never heard a negative word at one of your events. I've been at the last two. Everything I've heard has always been positive. I think you guys are definitely on the right track, Jeff.
Well, it's probably because you haven't asked anyone about me, because there's a lot of people out there that will that will be glad to tell you negative things about me, but that's fine.
You should hear what they say about me, man. You might be like, wow.
Yeah, Jeff, but the sad reality is, no matter what they personally might think about you, your product speaks volumes, and they can't really talk shit about your product as long as you continue doing what you've been doing, and that's putting on great fights, you know, bringing the fans exciting nights of local MMA. I mean, as long as you keep doing what you've been doing, they can all pretty much kiss your ass.
Yeah, and I agree, but a lot of what the end product everybody sees is a culmination of putting together a great team. I will take credit for finding and putting that team together, but the credit for the event being successful and being, an awesome, amazing event, that credit goes to, you know, my number two guy, Mingo Reyna. That goes to, you know, Jeff Hoiby and Stormy Hoiby. It goes, you know, to my wife, the lady that allows me to act like a fool most of the time. So there's a lot of other people that put in a lot of hard work, and then, you know, I get to stand there and say, yeah, I'm the promoter, but I really don't do a whole lot.
What? So now we've got, there's a, another fight I've heard that is maybe rumored to be going down. Maybe we're going to get to see Matt Kovacs and Will Corshane.
Yeah, I'm waiting for, I sent Will the offer today. I'm waiting to hear back from him. I've already got Landon Showalter's blessing that Matt can take that fight. So we're just waiting for Will to say yes, and we'll agree on a purse, and you know that'll be another, you know, slugfest that I look forward to watching.
Yeah. Now, some of the people are wondering: are you guys going to continue forward with the Cage Warrior Combat name, or will the name change?
No, we'll continue forward with the Cage Warrior Combat. We unfortunately didn't have the foresight to, when we started this, you know, 50 fights ago, to start branding it, you know, Cage Warrior Combat 1 and so on and so forth. So, you know, we've done the whole toying around with, you know, Pummel at the Point and Battle at the Beach and really all your cliche fight names. And we decided, you know, the best way to go was just, you know, Cage Warrior Combat 1, 2, 9, 100, a million, so on and so forth.
That'll be sweet. Now, will there be, like, will you do, like, big event shows, like 25, like the silver, 50, the gold, and things like that? Is that part of the plan, or?
That's what we're looking, you know, we're building in that direction. But we're also leaving an opening to do another idea that we're currently working on. So yeah, we will do the bigger shows as we go, you know, one, and when we get to 25 and 50 and 75, we hit those, you know, magical numbers. But then we'll also have we'll have other rebranded shows that will take on, you know, take on another life all of their own.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question I typically ask fighters, Ted. And, you know, you don't have to answer, but I think the people would like to know. Typically when I ask fighters this question, they say they like to do it before they get to the arena. But as the promoter, when do you take your final shit on fight day?
Well, I'm pretty regular, so it's got to be between 7:30 and 8 in the morning.
So you're just cleaned out for the whole day then?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, Mexican food really fucks me up. So if I eat Mexican food, it'll be like 10 minutes before and then 15 minutes on clockwork the rest of the night. So, typically morning time and then I'm good. But that Mexican food, sometimes Thai food fucks me up pretty good too.
Now, do you have, as a promoter, do you have any fight day rituals that you go through? Like, do you wake up and eat the same breakfast every time, or?
I jack off into the same sock. No, I'm just kidding.
Hell yeah.
I'm just kidding. Typically, every fight's different. Some fights I have plenty of time to, you know, sit down and eat with my family, and other fights I don't even get to change into a suit and tie. You know, I'm running around with monkey butt all day. So it changes every time. I'm hoping that, now that we're getting more competent people on board and we're moving into bigger venues, that I'll get to, my ritual will be to show up with my lovely wife at my side and drink beers and watch really awesome fights.
Now, anybody that you want to give a big shout out to before we wrap up this segment?
Like I said, you know, I'd like to thank Jeff Hoiby, you know, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. You know, he's been instrumental in this whole process. He makes sure that we're staying on track and keeping our eyes where they need to be, finding the fighters. He hits me up at least 2-3 times a day telling me about, you know, oh, you got to watch this guy. You got to keep an eye out for this guy. So, really, I guess truly, if any fighter out there wants to fight for Cage Warrior Combat, you really have to impress Jeff Hoiby. You know, he's the one that's, you know, putting a lot of seeds in the ground for me.
And fighters, that Jeff is so busy, if you were to donate $1,000 to the Jeff Hoiby Fund, I bet you could get your name up on that list fast.
He is a very, very, very busy guy.
Ted, it was kind of funny that you mentioned the you jack off into the same sock. A couple weeks ago, I was on MMA Topics, the yet-to-be-named MMA show, and I was interviewing a guy named Miles McDonald. He's a flyweight, strawweight that fights out in the Midwest. And I asked him the question about when does he take a crap on fight day. And then he went into this whole thing about, he's like, oh, man, he's like, I've always wanted to answer a question like this. And he ended up telling me about how the night before, he always, like, has to rub one out. And then when he wakes one up in the morning, he rubs out another one, and then he commences on with his day. So, I mean, you know, you're keeping with the trend. That was a great answer to the question, and I think the people love
that. That was a classic.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, I'm not a very refined businessman. I spent the best 8 years of my life in the United States Army. I was an infantry soldier, so anyone that knows anything about the infantry knows that the infantry guys will jack off anytime, anywhere.
you know, it doesn't matter.
He's an infantry guy. This dude Miles is he's in the military too.
Yeah, that's you hear about they have combat infantry badges. Now they have combat badges for pretty much anyone. But it was always a running joke, you know, who's going to get their combat jack off, who's going to get their para jack off, you know, guys trying to jack off, jumping out of airplanes and shit. So, I can, you know, even though I'm trying to be a refined businessman, I can get back into the trenches and be a grunt again.
Dude, I think that helps, you know, because I think a lot of times some promoters forget, you know, that the people want to be able to relate, and these are the kind of things that help them, you know, to be able to relate. They're like, oh man, this is shit me and my buddies talk about, you know. And any of the, you know, you mentioned what people might be saying about you, and they have these preconceived ideas. Well, this is how we can break those walls down and really let people know who Tad Bremer is and what the purpose moving forward with Cage Warrior Combat is going to be. And that, you know, there's great opportunity arising, whether you're an amateur, a pro, a male, a female. You know, I enjoy the fight cards that you guys are putting on, and I don't expect to be missing one here for a very long time.
Perfect. We're glad you're on board.
Skippy, what? I thought you were... Where'd you go, buddy?
I'm here. I was letting you guys finish up, and it just went quiet. You know, Tad, I want to tell you thank you for joining Madhouse Live again. We love the fact that you want to come on here and break that news and talk about it, and we look forward to a long relationship with your company, brother. And you have a wonderful night, man.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tad.
Bye.
And our previous guest, Mr. Aaron Hall from Team Quest, he had the bolt. I want to thank him also for joining tonight. Everybody go to TeamQuestMMA.net and check out their site. Right now they're giving away 30 days of free training. Check it out, folks. Go to their website, 30-day free training. Great show tonight, Lepaki.
Yeah, we didn't do too shabby, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
We
dude,
didn't
I
do
think
too
it
shabby
came out
at all,
pretty
man.
Good.
I think, you know, I think that there really is some great opportunity moving forward for some of these guys. And, you know, definitely hope and look forward to seeing a lot of guys from Team Quest get the opportunity up in Washington so that some of these fighters in Oregon that can actually have an opportunity to fight.
Dude, I agree. And I'd like to ask you something. Why is that nasty? That's a natural thing.
I don't, because that's fucking gross, bro. So just so everybody
it's
knows,
beautiful.
Like, Skippy sent a picture just now of some chick giving birth. Like, that's what we want to see. Like, come on, bro.
It's a beautiful creation of life.
Shut up, man. We're not all breeders, dude. Some of us are just here to party, watch fights, and talk shit. Not breathe.
That's what I've been doing for the last 5 minutes. I've been trying to find a funny picture like that to send you.
So Skip sends me, he like signals me. He's like, hold on, you got to run with the show. I got to step away for a minute. Hold on, man, this is really, really important. This is what was so fucking important that you had to step away from the show so you could send me a picture of some nasty shit like somebody giving birth? You sick, twisted motherfucker.
Oh, well, hey,
I'm
hold on a
second. I have to go take a DMT trip now just to fucking forget that.
Okay, hold on real quick. Let me play some sponsors before we disappear.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
Impose your will, folks. Bucky, we got about 10 seconds or so left alive there.
10 seconds. I want to give a shout out to G-Pen. It's a G-Pen Life. If you're looking for a vape pen, go G-Pen. And, of course, you know, my personal favorite sponsor, Alpha Brain on it. Make sure you get some New Mood, some Shroom Tech Sport, some Shroom Tech Immune, and most importantly, Alpha Brain, so you can be on the same level as Skippy and I.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, another great night, great guests. Hey, everybody, enjoy your day. This weekend's packed with MMA. Lepaki, big eagle to you.
Eagle.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV.
ACS Live, go ahead.
I'm going to play Clinch this commercial and then I'm out.
About to unleash the psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.